Let's get down to business. Taking a look at Wall Street, Dow Jones Industrial Average down 22 at 19,804. S&P 500 up 4 at 2,271. NASDAQ Composite up 16 at 5,555. Russell 2000 small and mid-cap stocks up 6 at 1,358. The yield on the 10-year Treasury up 6 basis points to 2.39%. Oil down $1.09 at $51.39 per barrel. Gold down $12.70 at $1,205 per ounce. Dow Industrial spent most of the day in slightly negative territory, and the S&P 500 traded in a tight range between negative and positive. If it seems like the stock market's crawl to nowhere over the past month has been particularly strange, well, that's because it has been. Turns out the gap between the Dow's high and low prices over the past month is a tiny 1.4%, and that's the narrowest gap in data going back to 1957. On December 13th, the Dow crossed 19,900, pushed toward 20,000, getting within a fraction of a point, then falling to a low of 19,719, or a 1.4% range. So something has to give here, and the question is whether we'll see a breakout or a breakdown. The long-term trend is still higher, but we really have to wait and let the market show us. Consumer prices rose in December as households paid more for gasoline and rent. Consumer price index rose 0.3% last month after gaining 0.2% in November. In the 12 months through December, the CPI increased 2.1%, and that is the biggest year-on-year gain since June of 2014. The so-called core CPI, stripping out food and energy costs, rose 0.2% last month after the same increase in November. As a result, the core CPI was up 2.2% in the 12 months through December. Rents rose 4% compared to a year ago in December. That's the strongest yearly gain since December 2007. That was the month the Great Recession began. Rising inflation comes against the backdrop of a strengthening economy and tightening labor market, which raises the prospect for more and faster interest rate hikes from the Federal Reserve. Fed Chair Janet Yellen delivered a speech today, said the economy is close to the Fed's objective of full employment and stable prices, and she is confident it will continue to improve. That, in turn, means it makes sense, Yellen says, to gradually reduce the level of monetary policy support. Although Yellen said the timing of the next interest rate increase will depend on how the economy actually evolves over coming months, Yellen went on to add, right now our foot is still pressing on the gas pedal. Meanwhile, Fed Governor Lael Brainard said fiscal policies that boost demand when the economy is already around full employment and 2% inflation are, quote, relatively more likely to be accompanied by increases in interest rates. Meanwhile, Minneapolis Fed President Neel Cash Carey is launching a research institute to generate ideas elected officials might use to help more Americans benefit from a growing economy and address issues such as racial disparity and income inequality. Meanwhile, the Fed published its beige book. Reports from all 12 districts, which is released 2 weeks before the FOMC policy meetings. Manufacturers in most of the Federal Reserve System's 12 regions reported increased sales. Companies reported uncertainty surrounding the change of administrations in Washington, but remained generally optimistic about growth prospects for 2017. Labor markets were reported to be tight or tightening, and pricing pressure intensified. Central bank policy might have a problem, that according to the Central Bank's Bank, a working paper by the Bank for International Settlements found cuts in interest rates and asset purchase programs can help reduce volatility in stocks and bonds, but it also found lower rates or lower term premium does not appear to spark economic growth. Industrial production rebounded in December due to the biggest jump in utilities since 1989 as temperatures cooled across the country. The Federal Reserve said industrial output rose 0.8% last month. The bulk of December's increase was due to the 6.6% rise in the utilities index. Overall industrial production, however, fell at an annual rate of 0.6% in the fourth quarter. The oil market got a stark reminder that rising oil production in the U.S. could upend efforts by major producers to bring global supply and demand for crude back into balance. The Energy Information Administration released a report on drilling productivity, forecasting a monthly rise of 41,000 barrels a day in February oil production to 4.75 million barrels per day. Earnings season, Citigroup reporting a 7% rise in quarterly profit, beating estimates. However, adjusted revenue fell 9% to $17 billion due to divestitures, and they missed the average estimate. Goldman Sachs reporting net income of $2.2 billion and nearly fourfold rise in quarterly profit, the fifth largest U.S. bank by assets, which relies more on revenue from trading stocks and bonds than other Wall Street companies, posted a 25% jump in trading in the fourth quarter compared with the prior year. Goldman beat on the top and bottom lines. HSBC became the first major bank to detail plans to move jobs out of London after Brexit, saying it will relocate staff responsible for generating about a fifth of the UK-based trading revenue. They'll move to Paris after Britain leaves the EU. The United States sued J.P. Morgan Chase, accusing the bank of discriminating against minority borrowers by charging them higher rates and fees on home mortgage loans between 2006 and at least 2009. Separately, the Labor Department claimed the bank systematically discriminated against 93 women technology workers at its investment bank by paying them lower wages since at least 2012. The Labor Department asked an internal administrative judge to cancel all government contracts and prevent J.P. Morgan from entering future federal contracts if it fails to provide relief. United Continental's fourth quarter profit tumbled. The airline announced fourth quarter earnings of $1.78 per share on revenue of $9.1 billion, but said its profit fell 51% to $397 million because of its tax bill. American Airlines is introducing its basic economy fares, because economy fares weren't basic enough, I suppose. The new fares, also known as sub-cattle class, mean you can't store carry-ons in the overhead compartments, no assigned seating, last to board, no changes at all, no upgrades, and no soup for you. Meanwhile, Americans' flight attendants have a problem with their new uniforms. They claim it's causing skin rashes, itchy eyes, sore throats, blisters. The airline spent $1 million on tests. They still don't know what's wrong. Target cut its quarterly earnings forecast after sales for the holiday season came in lower than expected due to weak demand for electronics, food, and other products. Sales at Target stores open at least a year down 1.3% in the November-December period, while total sales fell 4.9%. Target follows rivals Macy's and Kohl's, which also cut their profit forecast after reporting disappointing holiday sales. JCPenney shares down about 2% after announcing a new partnership with Nike to add Nike shops in 600 of its stores. I'm not sure why that would be bad news. After the closing bell, Netflix reported earnings of 15 cents per share, beating estimates by 2 cents. Company said it added 7.05 million subscribers during the quarter, well above its own expectations of $5.2 million. Stock has risen by a dazzling 35% over the past 6 months, and it is tacking on 8% more in after-hours trading. Essilor of France said it would merge with Luxottica Group of Italy, owner of the Ray-Ban and Oakley brands, in a $49 billion deal. The combined company would be known as Essilor Luxottica, and it would be the largest player in the eyewear market. The new company would have more than 140,000 employees in 150 countries with 2016 revenue of $16 billion. Navient, the nation's largest student loan servicer, was hit with a Consumer Financial Protection Bureau lawsuit over allegations that it has systematically and illegally failed borrowers. Navient, formerly part of Sallie Mae, created repayment obstacles for tens of thousands of student borrowers by providing incorrect payment information, processing payments incorrectly, and failing to act when borrowers complained. British bookies will bet on almost anything, including specific words or phrases Donald Trump might say in his inaugural address Friday. Ladbrokes, for example, offering odds of 1 to 50 for Make America Great Again, indicating there's a pretty good chance Trump will repeat his campaign slogan in Friday's speech. That means a $1 bet would only yield 2 cents in case of a win. With slightly longer odds, Reagan comes in at 1 to 5, followed by Tremendous, ISIS, and China at 1 to 2. Further down the list sit Fake News at 3 to 1 and Totally False at 5 to 1. Aside from the buzzword betting, gamblers can also try their luck with Trump's tie color, odds on red, and speech length, 20 minutes. Pick the over or the under. And it's official, according to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, NOAA, 2016 was the hottest year on record again. The planet sizzled to its third straight record warm year in 2016, and 16 of the 17 warmest years have occurred since 2001. The average temperature across the Earth's land and ocean surfaces from 2016 came in at 58.69 degrees, a whopping 1.69 degrees above average. It was the largest margin by which an annual global temperature record has ever been broken. Record high temperatures were set in 2016 on nearly every continent. Dow Industrials down 22 today at 19,804. S&P 500 up 4 at 2271. NASDAQ Composite up 16 at 5555. Follow along at moneyradio.com, live streaming and archived audio, the daily blog, text, audio, and more at eatthebankers.com.